So let's turn to the gospel now, Matthew chapter 5. If you have a Bible with you, please open to Matthew. It's the first book of the New Testament. It's about two-thirds of the way through the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the chair in front of you, and page 810 is Matthew 5. And after we read, you can keep your Bible open. We're going to turn to the next book, Mark, following the scripture reading. So Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's just spoken the Beatitudes, those things that bring blessing, the people who blessing comes to, and we'll begin in verse 13 as he's talking to those disciples of his. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If you'll turn with me to the next book toward the back of the Bible, Mark chapter 4. Last week we began chapter 4, and Jesus here is speaking in parables. Some of you may wonder, well, what are parables? And we talked about how they're illustrations, short stories, we could say, revealing certain teaching that Jesus has. The disciples asked, why are you teaching like this? Why are you teaching in parables? Jesus says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for all those outside, it is hidden. And this is the parable he told. Some of you will remember. Some of you, if you weren't here, this will be a good introduction for you, because this is very important. What we read here this morning directly influences, I believe, the passage that we're going to look at. So the parable was of four soils, right? There was seed. A sower went out. Jesus told the story. A sower went out. Remember, they used to sow. They had a satchel with a bunch of seed. They'd grab it with their hand and sprinkle it on the ground. And some seed fell on the path, and birds quickly came down and snatched it up. But other seed fell on the rocky soil. So there was some soil with rocks underneath, and it sprang up quickly overnight. But when the hot sun came out, it withered because it didn't have root. Withered away and died. The third soil, the seed was planted, but thorns and thistles grew up and choked the plant out. And the fourth seed fell on good soil, and it produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the disciples are sitting there wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Why are you speaking in parables? How can we understand this? And Jesus says, he reveals to the parable to them. He says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And so this is an important one to understand. Sets up the context. He says, the sower sows the word. So it's like someone going out, sprinkling the word of God on different soils, and the soils be people's hearts. And each soil, it says, they hear. Well, remember, the first seed was sprinkled on the path. Remember, the birds came down and snatched it up. He said, that is Satan, who comes down when the word is sowed. He snatches it up before it can take root. So some people hear and they never understand, because Satan takes it away. The second soil, where it falls on the rocky soil, the second seed, springs up. And Jesus says here, verse 15 and following of chapter 4, these are the ones who hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root, and they endure for a while. Remember, the sun came out and withered them? Well, the sun here is the tribulation or persecution that arises. In other words, the Christian life is great. God wants you to be healthy. And then you get sick and you wither away. Well, I guess God isn't real, they might say. And they fall away. Then the third seed is sown on the soil and the thorns grow up. He said the thorns are the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches, just wanting more and more money. The desires for other things, so you desire other things more than desire for God. And it chokes the word out. It suffocates, was the word. And so there's no fruit. But the last seed was sown on good soil. There are ones who, and here it is, hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Notice, the last seed is the only seed that grows up to bear fruit. And fruit is the way that we know that we are Jesus' disciples. And so this is very important to understand before we go to the next passage. So think about the word is sown. Jesus desires that his disciples will bear fruit. In other words, what is fruit? We've talked about the fruit through the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and on. These different things that we read in the word. That we can also talk about fruit in the context of good works. We just read in a passage, Matthew chapter 5. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. So if we look at the next passage, let's see what Jesus says. Verse 21. Following right after he told this parable. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus even told his disciples what this parable meant of the soil so that we could understand it ourselves. Thank you for revealing the secret of the kingdom, the gospel, Jesus Christ, to us. And Lord, we read this passage and it can sound very confusing. And we need your help now. I need your help. Father, your word is full of riches and mystery. And we need you to reveal things to us through your word by your Spirit. We ask that you would do that to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, some of you know the story, some of you don't. When Karen and I were dating, I finally decided that it's time to propose to her, but I didn't want her to know, so I asked her dad and her parents' permission, and I didn't know how long they could keep the secret, so I thought I better do this quick. And we traveled up to Vermont. Her parents live in Massachusetts, and I had already picked out a ring and gotten it, said I didn't know her size, I wanted to surprise her, but, so anyway, we went hiking, and we like to go hiking on Mount Mansfield, we tried to do it maybe once a year, and so we're hiking up, and I thought, well, if she goes through the bag, or backpack, she's going to find something out, she's going to find this ring, and so I was wearing these just ripped up clothes, and paint stuff all over them. I had pinned the ring inside my pocket because I was afraid, you know, if you're hiking, you lose a ring, you never find it again. So we got up to a certain point, and on the way up, we were talking about how, oh, I'd be so nervous to ask your dad, and I don't think, you know, I could ever bring myself up. Who knows what he would say? And she was getting discouraged. Oh, this guy's never going to ask me. So then we got up to a place where you could look out, beautiful view. It was 98 degrees that day. And I got down on one knee and asked her if she would marry me. And she just looked at me and she's like, are you serious? And then she said yes. And we had to get off the mountain because it was the Labor Day weekend, and we actually we had to get a ring size here at what's now Eaton's. And I had the ring. She saw the ring. It was way too big, and it was just falling off her finger. So it was like, we better get down before they close, because we were heading back to Massachusetts. And so we were running down, and we just started thinking about who do we need to tell? There's all these people we need to tell, and we couldn't wait to tell them. And it's a good picture of the Word. When we receive the gospel, when we receive Christ, we receive the Word, we can't wait to get it out there. We want to tell people what's happened. But then, as time goes on, we begin to become quieter, don't we? Or maybe some of us, when we do receive the gospel, we're afraid to tell anyone. We've accepted it. We've received it. We've heard it. And we tend to keep our faith hidden, don't we? Why do we do that? Well, some of us are afraid of what other people will think. Oh, my family's going to think I'm nuts. Or they're going to think that I've gone off the deep end. We're afraid maybe we're going to turn other people away. Maybe we'll lose friends, right? Maybe we won't fit in. There's all kinds of reasons. But Jesus here is saying that the gospel, our faith, secret of the kingdom, is not to be kept to ourselves, but it is to be shown out there. And in other words, by God's grace, we must bear fruit. And the fruit is not just for ourselves. The fruit is for His glory. And so we see that in, I think, this next passage here. What is fruit? Fruit, again, we talked about, can be seen as good works. And so many people wrongly start with fruit. Just think about the absurdity of this. A Christian would be saying, or someone who's not even a Christian saying, I need to show that I'm a Christian. So I'm going to start with fruit. I'm going to start by doing all these good things. But guess what? The tree isn't even grown, right? You can't start with the fruit. You start with the seed planted, and it grows and begins to become strong in faith, the roots drinking, and the leaves appear, and then in time the fruit comes, provided that it's not choked out, provided that it's not withered by persecution, provided that Satan doesn't snatch it away. We also read that bear fruit, Matthew says, in keeping with repentance. The healthy tree bears good fruit, Matthew 7. The branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, cuts off, John 15. The fruit is the evidence of faith. So in other words, the faith begins, the seed is planted, God gives the faith, grows it, nurtures it, grows up into a tree or a plant, produces the fruit. So the good works, if you think that you're going to go out and I'm just going to do good things, then you're missing the picture. Because that flows from the faith. And that's a real misunderstanding today. That Christians are known as people who just do good works. And there's no mention about Christ. There's no mention about, well, why are they doing the good works? Well, we're just supposed to. No. Well, that is true. We do good works, but we start with the faith. We start with God. He gives us faith, and the works proceed from that. So the works are an evidence. So number one, bearing fruit is a work of the Spirit. This isn't directly in the text, but it's all over the Bible, and we have to start here. Because producing works is something that we always do. You are either producing works of the flesh or you're producing works of the Spirit. You are either producing bad fruit or you're producing good fruit. And we see this here in Galatians chapter 5. It talks about the works of the flesh. And it talks about all these things, lying, deceiving, turn there quickly, we can see in Galatians 5, because directly after that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Here it is. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. Some of you might never thought the Bible would talk about things like that. But these are the works of the flesh. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So in other words, there's a radical change that you cannot do by yourself. It is a work of the Spirit. Apart from Christ, there's nothing that you can do. So in other words, you are stuck in fits of rage. You are stuck in anger, sensuality, idolatry, all those things that were mentioned. Can you all of a sudden say, I'm going to just stop doing those, and I'm going to start loving. I'm going to start being peaceful. You will for a time, and then you will fail. Because if you are under law, it leads to the curse of death. It is only in Christ that you are able to live by the Spirit. And so bearing fruit is not something that you can just all of a sudden decide to do apart from Christ. Jesus says a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. You have to be connected to the vine. So which means dying to self, it means repenting, it means turning away from your sin and turning to Christ. This is the hope of the gospel, because Jesus has done it for us. Jesus has died on a cross so that we can be forgiven. And we come to Him in faith, believing, Lord Jesus, I believe that You paid for my sin and that You have cleansed me by Your blood, and I want to live for You now. I believe that You have done this. God gives us faith as a gift. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh is by faith in the Son of God. Do you see the difference? You're either living by the flesh, the things that you desire to do apart from Christ, or you're living by faith through the Spirit. And you know what the great thing about this is? Since bearing fruit is a work of the Spirit, we can't say, hey, look how good I am. Look at these great things I did. I'm a really good person. We're humbled because it's God doing it. And so we say, look how great God is. Look what He's done. And we have humility. Thank You, God, for changing my heart. Number two, and this is where we get into the text. Bearing fruit is meant to be shown and known. Bearing fruit is meant to be shown and known. Now, this strikes us a little odd at first, because we think, isn't it arrogant to show our good works or to show our fruit? But look at the connection. Verse 20 says, those sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And then he goes to talking about a lamp on a stand. Is a lamp, and I think the connection here is that the lamp is the gospel, Christ, who's the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Once we believe in Him, we have the light of life within us. And so the lamp is the gospel in us shining. Why would you ever light a lamp and put it under a basket? Why would you ever light a lamp and put it under a bed? Well, that won't accomplish anything, will it? No, you put it up on a stand so that everybody can see. Light illumines things. Yesterday, we were driving back from New Hampshire from our meeting, and as we drove, I said to the guys in the car, it is really dark out tonight. I mean, I could see some stars, but where's the moon? It's dark. I'm having trouble seeing. And we stopped at a gas station, and I walk around, and my lights are caked with salt. I mean, to the point where I had to scrub maybe 10 times to get that film off. And it was so much brighter. Well, light illumines, doesn't it? So you can see. That is how we as Christians are to be in this world. We shine the gospel. How else will people know? God did that not for ourselves. It's not shining saying, look how good I am. It's shining saying, look how awesome God is. Look how great He is. We read just a little bit ago in Matthew chapter 5. It says this, let your light shine before others so that, here's the reason, they may see your good works. Did you hear that? Let it shine so they can see your good works. Why? So they can think, what an awesome person you are. No. So they can give glory to God in heaven. Look what God has done. We bear fruit as Christians as a way of spreading the gospel. As a way of showing, look at God breaking in to this darkness and being able to change people's hearts. We're shining the light of Christ by faith through the works that we do. So they're not only shown, but they're also known. Verse 22, nothing is hidden. Think about under the basket or under the bed. Nothing is hidden except to be made known, nor is anything secret except to come to light. There's a lot of debate about what this might mean. I think what it means in the context here, a lot of people will just pull things out of Scripture and they won't look at what's around it. But if we follow the flow of thought here, in other words, the Bible says our works will one day be tested. They will be shown. They will be revealed. I think it's pointing forward to the end day, the day of judgment. The good things that we've done, the bad things that we've done. Matthew 12, on the day of judgment, you will give account for every word that you have spoken. Every careless word, even. Nothing can be hidden. So even though we think, well, I'm going to hide this from Christ. I'm going to hide this from God. We can't hide from Him. Everything will be revealed. The good things as well. They will be known one day. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, verse 23. Bearing fruit comes from hearing. Now, we've seen this in verse 20. We've seen it in the other with all the different seeds on the soil. Every single one says that they hear the word, but only the last one is to hear and accept it. There's a specific hearing, a hearing with a reception that leads to fruit. Remember last week we read faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So we pay attention. It says, pay attention to what you hear. Take care then how you hear. Luke chapter 8 says in the same parable that Jesus is speaking. So I ask you this morning, how are you hearing? Is there conviction of God's word, seeds planted in your heart? Do you hear but refuse to receive it? Or is God working so that you receive His word and desire to live for Christ, desire to shine His light? Pay attention. Take care then how you hear. It matters how you listen. You know how this works. You meet someone who just has a tendency to talk on and on and on, and at some point you shut down. And you're just kind of sitting there and looking, and you're not really, you're hearing them, but you're not listening, right? Or you're listening, but you're not hearing, however you want to put it. What about the word of Christ that is spoken? Are you hearing it? Because point number four, bearing fruit brings blessing. Look at verse 24. Pay attention to what you hear, and here it is. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, to the one who has, more will be given. You see, if we step out in faith, we demonstrate how God is working in our lives, then God will bless that effort. He will bless that faith. And if we are living in unbelief and we're not really stepping out, we're not really doing anything that would demonstrate that we believe in Christ, then we're not going to receive much either. We've seen that whoever sows sparingly, if you're just sprinkle, okay, I'm going to put one seed here, and I'm going to put one seed over there, and one seed way over there, you're not going to reap a good crop, are you? But if you sow generously, I'm going to scatter seed all over the place, there's going to be a big harvest in by the grace of God. This is not a formula. If you do this, then God will do this. Bless you. But it's a principle. For example, if you serve others, there will be a great blessing to you. Think about people who go on a mission trip, for example. You go and you serve the people, but a lot of the people who go on these trips come back and say, actually, it was a greater blessing to me. I mean, I went to bless these other people. We went to bring them food and clothes and help in their orphanage or whatever it was, or even what Julie's doing to help these people with their animals. And Julie said this before when she comes back, it was a great blessing to me that God does that. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Think of a measuring cup. You're using, filling it up, one cup. You pour it out. That's the picture here, that it will be measured back to you. And guess what? And more will be added to you. Did you see that? It's not just, you give this, then you'll get this. No, but it's even more blessing. God gives more. As one says, His grace is great. He pours back His blessing. That strengthens your faith. Think about this illustration. As one pointed out, King Solomon, God came to him and said, King Solomon, you can ask anything of me and I will give you whatever you ask. Now, if God came to you and said, I'll give you whatever you want, what would you like? What would you ask for? That's a big question. You might need to think about that one for a minute. Do you know what Solomon asked for? He was the king at that time. He said, God, your people are so great, the biggest thing that I need is wisdom to know how to rule your people. And God was so pleased that he had asked in faith for wisdom. He said, you could have asked for all the gold in the world. You could have asked for riches. You could have asked for honor. And because you have asked for wisdom, I will bless you with all of those things that you did not ask for. Riches, honor. Think about Christ. Jesus Christ pardons us. He says, you are forgiven in faith. But he does more than that. It's measured to us and more will be added. He adopts us, doesn't he? He gives us peace. He frees us from sin. He gives us the Spirit. We can add all these things that to what Christ does. That it's measured to us and even more is given. And finally, we'll close with this. This is a warning. Bearing no fruit brings a curse. Bearing no fruit brings a curse. Look at the end of verse 25. We'll start at the beginning. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Wow, that's a confusing sentence. The one who doesn't have what he has will be taken away. What it's saying here is the one who does not have any fruit, even what he has, or what he, the, as Luke says, what he thinks he has, will be taken away. If you don't have fruit, what do you have? Well, look at the parable of the soils, the sower. You have a seed on the ground that's snatched away. You have a seed that springs up and the little plant grows, but then it's withered. So you have the little plant. Or you have the plant that grows up and then the thorns come and choke it out. Didn't bear fruit. So it's possible, isn't it, to have something have tasted of the Spirit, as the word says, but then it will be taken away because there's no fruit. We see that in John 15. Any branch that does not bear fruit, I will prune it. That's it being taken away. So we need to pay attention here. And some translations actually translate this, even what he has, it will be lost, or he will lose it. That's not strong enough, because the Greek says, it will be taken away. It's not just like I'm walking up the mountain, going to propose to Karen, and I lose the ring. That's different than it being taken away. If someone took the ring away from me, that's a whole different story, isn't it? So we need to hear the thrust of this, that the taken away is action that's happening from God. He is taking it away. So the person who has, the one who's good soil, and the has not, I believe, is the three other soils. I think we can actually see a bookend here, a mirror, if you will. Follow me for a minute. So you have the first soil, seed is snatched away. The second soil springs up, has root, but then it withers. The third soil choked out, and then you have the fourth soil, which actually produces the fruit. And then over here, verse 21, you're shining like a lamp. It's mirroring the fourth soil. You're producing fruit. You're not keeping it secret. And the measure you use, the faith, it will be measured back to you. But then you have over here, the one who has not, the other soils. Even that will be taken away. You know the story, perhaps, of the parable of the talent. Let me tell you the story. Jesus told it. So, this is found in Matthew chapter 25, if you wanted to look at it later or even look at it now. Jesus says it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. Okay, so think about this. A man goes on a journey, calls the servants, I need someone to take care of my house when I'm gone, take care of my finances, my money. For the first servant, he gives 5 talents. The second servant, he gives 2 talents. And the third, he gives 1. To each according to his ability. So he said, you know, okay, this person has pretty good business sense, ability, I'm going to give them a lot. Well, the person who received the 5, it says he went away and traded with them and made 5 more. So now he has 10. So also, who had the 2 talents? He made 2 talents more. But the third person, the servant, he received the 1 talent. He went out and dug a hole in the ground. And he put the talent in there. And then he covered it back up, right? After a long time, the master came back to settle accounts with them. The person who had received the 5, he said, look, I've made you 5 more. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Did you hear that? With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and more will be given. Right? And then to the one who made 2 talents, master, you gave me 2. I've made 2 more. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful even over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. It's joyful, right? But then the one who had 1 talent came forward and he said, master, I know that you are a hard man. I know that you reap where you do not sow. You gather where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, take what is yours. He digs up the talent, gives it to him. But his master answered him, you wicked and lazy or slothful servant. You knew that I would reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. In other words, even the little simplest act of faith would have produced a little bit more for me. Not a whole talent, but a little bit. So he took the talent from him and gave it to the man who had 10 talents. And he says, for everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Does that sound familiar? We just read something very similar to that. But that's not where the story ends. Unfortunately, it gets worse. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you know what that means? That means that this person who had the one talent exercised zero faith, which means he was not saved, and he went to hell. The opposite of entering into the joy of your master is being cast out into weeping and darkness. And so bearing fruit matters. It matters. So we come to the Lord saying, Lord, I believe you, Christ, that you died for me, that you changed my life. I want to live for you. Help me to shine your gospel. Help me to live my life for you. And do you know what? People came to Jesus and said, okay, I know I need to be doing works. What are the works of God? Just tell me so that I can do it. Do you know what Jesus said? This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So the work of God, first and foremost, is to believe in Christ. And do you see that once you have that foundation, all the other things just flow? Right? Yesterday we heard a story, a real story. There's a pastor in our presbytery who his wife has had breast cancer, and she's had to go down to Dartmouth for chemotherapy treatments over and over again for a couple months. They have three small kids. I think their youngest child is a year old. And in the midst of this, his father had a heart attack, I believe. And then her parents came up for Christmas to spend time with them. And a couple weeks later, they heard that her dad was diagnosed with spots of cancer all over his brain. So they were driving down to say goodbye to him. And while they were on the road, he died. And so they never got to see him again in this life. And so we were wondering, how are they doing? How is that church doing? I mean, it just seems like the year has been so hard, and it has been hard. And I talked to one of the elders, and he said, you know, the church has been excellent. Ever since June, they set up a meal rotation. The ladies in the church got together, and so they've brought a meal to the family every other day since June through December. That's a lot of meals. And do you know what else they did? Because the husband had to take the wife down to Dartmouth, which was an hour and a half drive one way, and back in the same day, they had people that would come and babysit the kids. And if he wanted to stay, then they'd have people that would drive her down and come back. And I thought to myself, what a blessing. This is fruit of faith. And other people will look in and they will see that and they will say, how come I have never known love like that? I don't know what that looks like, they would say. And that's the light shining in the darkness. See, it's great to hear babies because it shows us actually our need, that this is who we are before God, crying out to him. Lord, help us. We need you to produce fruit. We need you to work in our hearts. We need you. And kids, the kids are here. How can you produce fruit, kids? Well, one way God tells us is to honor our parents, right? I was visiting another church and the pastor came up to the kids. He said, hey kids, do you think that mom and dad are happy when you obey them or when you disobey them? And they said, when we obey them. Yeah, and that makes God happy too. That's how we can show that we believe in him And it goes for more than just young kids. It goes for older kids too. That we are free to love, to serve. We are free to give of our time. You might be asking this morning, how can you bear fruit in Christ, believing in Him? You know, one of the most precious things that you can give is your time. Did you know that? It's not your money. It's your time. Time has actually overcome the preciousness of money in our culture, I believe. Who are you going to give time to? Where are you going to spend your time? How could you give the church time? Right? All of these different things. Ron, here's an example. Ron fell. Right? He hurt his back. He has given so much time to the church, he can't do that as much anymore. So how could we fill in the void there and serve, show fruit, which would be a blessing to him? It would give glory to God. How can we serve our neighbors? You know, Julie talked about, she's encouraged us and others, let's bring something to our neighbors and invite them to the community. Let's put together a plate of cookies or whatever and just go say, you know what? We're not trying to get you to come. That's not why we're here. We just want to love you. We just want to let you know that we're your neighbors. Welcome to the community. That takes time, doesn't it? It takes energy. But those are ways that we can bear fruit. We could sit here all day and talk about other ways to bear fruit, but you know, perhaps God will work in your heart to know, Lord, how can I bear fruit for you? How can I show that I believe that my life has changed? And now I don't live for myself. I live for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your Spirit is at work in our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, for how we have turned in on ourselves and been consumed with ourselves, our own time, what I want to do, who I want to be with. Give us the faith of Christ. Give us humility. Help us to live for you, to bear fruit, to shine the light of Christ in this dark world. And Lord, if our hearts aren't there yet, I pray that you would move us in that direction. If there are people here who their hearts are not in Christ at all, Lord, you know them. You can work in their hearts. You can speak to them. I pray that you would do that and they would turn to you. For you are a God who willingly grants forgiveness and faith. And so we thank you for who you are. We ask that you would help us this week to maybe even think about one way that we can demonstrate fruit, that we can bear fruit through from our faith. We thank you, and we trust that you will help us. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.